Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowning with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Mark Shue, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 386 of the TradeX Podcast, where even though the network went away, the dap is always here to stay. So drop a dap in the chat or in the comments if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today, we have another longtime friend of the show. We have Mark Shue, a.k.a. at Primetime Mock. Mark, how are you?
I'm great. I mean, I feel like I got really lucky with the placement here. Like, week four is a really important time for people to be making trades. I have always thought that week four is when you really sort of start to see the league really take its true form. It's where there's enough evidence finally where we know what is true and what's not. And a lot of people's dynasty teams, or, you know, even their redraft teams, are figuring out if they can compete or if they're not. So I'm actually really excited this week to start talking some trades.
You learn a lot about yourself by week four, I feel like. And
definitely,
I think it's such a, and we did this on the show last week with Herms and Nate Pulva, but just like starting to overreact. I'm like, don't panic through 3 weeks, but week four, you start to kind of understand where you are in the league and if these injuries are going to matter. And we'll obviously talk some injuries today, but before we get into the news, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah. So I'm Mark Shue. You can find me mostly on Blue Sky at Primetime Mock. And I still have my Twitter at Primetime Mock as well. This time of year, I run a fantasy football original concept reality competition called Fantasy Football. It's a crazy game where basically you end up competing for immunities and you vote people out to send to the elimination. And we have an elimination every Monday night. It's a really fun league. We have a great cast this year. You can watch it on Discord if you're interested. Just get at me. I'll get you the information. You can see everything. We have full video confessionals from the players. We have, immunity decisions and shields that are placed and votes that are sort of cast. And we have the videos for those that you can see all that as well. So it's been a really fun year. And the game is right now starting to heat up. So we're really excited.
That's awesome. And then another thing, what is kind of a guiding principle you have in trading?
Guiding principle. I mean, I think you just need to know what direction you're going. Like, for the most part, like, none of these trades are guaranteed. I mean, you can feel like you have, you know, someone over a barrel, and then it turns out a year later that it's the complete opposite. So I think you need to go one, you need to, you know, keep trading and trying to find a way to improve your team, but really, know the direction that you're going. If you are tanking, you know, do what is best for you long term, not just tank like all the way to the bottom necessarily. If you feel like you have enough pieces, not going too far, know your direction. Is it a soft tank? Is it a hard tank? Are we going for it? Are we just kind of seeing how the season plays out? Like, all these, you know, just figure out where you're going first, and then make more, you know, important decisions later on as you get closer to either the playoffs or, you know, rookie draft season.
I feel like week four is a good time to really be figuring out where you're going to. So I always feel like about a month into the season is when you really have a feel for things starting to normalize and where players are going to be at.
Yes,
exactly.
I will say this year feels weird for that because I have, and I'll just get into home league stuff for a second. So I have a league with my fraternity from college, and I have Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, AJ Brown, and Garrett Wilson as my wide receivers, and I'm 1-3. Yeah. Like, it's just what it, this is a weird year. AJ Brown has like 7 yards combined in 3 games.
Garrett Wilson's like the only one of those that's been consistent.
I know he's the only one that actually did well. Yeah. So, I'm excited for Jets Cowboys, by the way. That's going to be a points fest. But I think it's interesting, and actually we'll point to it because I'll pull it up right now. But I saw a tweet from Jamie Eisenberg and just talking about how weird this league was, how weird this year is. And keep in mind, he's redraft, but he said the top 10 fantasy wide receivers before the season were Chase, Lamb, Jefferson, Neighbors, Amon-Ra, Collins, Puka, Brian Thomas Jr., London, and AJ Brown. Said the top 10 fantasy wide receivers after week four are Puka, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Quentin Johnston, Roma Dunze, George Pickens, JSN, Emeka Ibuka, Keenan Allen, Deebo Samuel, and Trey Tucker, as we all expected. Just, it's a weird year. And
yeah. Well, Trey Tucker's 1 week, but
of course, but like there's two Chargers in the top 10, and Ladd McConkey's not one of them. Like,
that's funny.
It's crazy.
I'm looking kind of good on that take, by the way. I was skeptical of Ladd McConkey all non-point scoring season, and I said he had to show me again, and he's not showing me again.
It's almost as if he was volume dependent. but yeah, no, I think it's Quentin Johnston's such a fun story, and I don't have any of him, but like it's just fun to like he took a lot of crap for I think 3 years, and he's finally showing out, so that's cool. But and Roman saying tight end one is currently Ferguson. Yes, that's because Dak's throwing him 17 targets for 4 yards. He's Jason Witten again.
I'm loving it though. I have a ton of
me too. all right, let's get into the news. Malik Neighbors, MetLife claimed another one, and I don't know when they're ever going to fix it. They said they're putting in new turf for the World Cup. Like, let's just leave that turf in when they're done with it. So he's out for the season, torn ACL. Mark, where do we go from here? And Dynastud's question is, what are realistic expectations for Wandale rest of season? Dart didn't look bad, by the way. It was kind of a wonky offense, but he looked decent.
No, he didn't. And without Malik, I think figuring out what his, his first read and what his best read it, on any given play is going to be is kind of like in question. The real thing is like Dart coming in puts it a lot more in flux for me than it would, even if it were Russell Wilson. Not that I wasn't expecting Russell Wilson to get benched eventually, but frankly, I just, it's hard to know. He could go anywhere between being, this PPR kind of hack that he was last year, where he was getting you a bunch of catches and like 30, 40 yards. Or he could, he could be Jackson Dart's number one. I don't necessarily think that. I think, they'll lean probably back on Darius Slayton like they've done in years past. Theo Johnson is also kind of interesting. Scadabo, also, a pass catcher. I think you might see a lot more passes go to Scadabo's way this year. I don't know. How much are we paying for Wanda Robinson right now? Like a third round pick or not even?
Contending second I'd be okay with if you needed something. But
yeah, I think you would need to pay a second. I don't think anybody wants to sell him now, especially after the Neighbor's injury, for a third.
Right. No, I don't think that anybody would want to, but I mean, like, we still don't really know. He's not somebody that I'd be openly targeting right now. If I have to pay even a late second, I don't really want to pay that for.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of see him as like an inconsistent wide receiver three. Like, he might have a couple boom games because there's not a lot else there. But also the Giants D is not that bad. Like,
no,
they have a good D line. I pulled up their schedule. Other than the Cowboys game, which was crazy, They haven't given up more than 22 points in any of the other three games. And a lot of field goals in those games. So, like, there's not a lot of scoring, which means they're not going to – even though they're not a good team, they're probably not going to need to be passing a lot because they're not going to be trailing, like, 27-6 or something. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I don't think you can depend even on volume with Wandale. So, it's just going to be kind of – I think – we always say, like, a lot of times when the lead running back goes down, it's just going to be a committee. I think it's going to be wide receiver by committee, basically. So, I wouldn't expect. Like Mark said, I would not be targeting them. I mean, if you have them, fine, but I just don't think you're going to get any kind of consistent production.
And to your point, Rocky, I think, you know, the Giants don't want to be in shootout kind of games with their rookie quarterback. Not yet. Not until you can prove that that's like a viable option. Right. But right now it kind of, while he did look pretty good in his first start, I think, you know, most people are going to evaluate Jackson Dart as like a first read and then take off and run kind of quarterback right now,
yep,
which doesn't help any of the receivers. And like you said, the defense is strong, which they're going to want that defense to help them win some games and keep Jackson Dart in the game. And so I think it's going to be a lot more run game and, you know, again, passes to the running back. I think Wandale can get some of that short yardage stuff, but I wouldn't be counting on it until I saw it, especially if I need to pay a second for it.
Does this scare you guys off Scataboo because they're going to stack it for him now?
No, I think it's actually probably, I mean, if you wanted to trade him, like, again, if you have the day three running back, you know, how much are you really going to be able to get for this guy?
Yeah.
If you wanted to sell high, I don't think it's a bad idea, especially because we haven't seen much of it and it's been great so far. Mm-hmm. But do you want to? He's got that the young nucleus of the team. Offensive line is still, you know, it's the Giants, so not great right now.
And he could just live off of volume. Again, just going back to what we're saying, no neighbors, rookie quarterback. I mean, even if he's not amazing, he could be getting a ton of work.
Tracy could come back and steal some of those catches, though.
That's true.
I could also see them maybe make, like, if they're in the spot, they could make a trade for a running back too, or sign somebody, especially while Tracy's out, just to sort of see what, you know. I don't think they want to put it all on him either.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara, welcome to the New York Giants. That would be so bad. All right,
just a Giants move.
Yeah, it would be. There will be a couple of trades on neighbors later, so we can kind of. I think, you know, if you're rebuilding, you have him. If you're contending and you lost him, maybe trade him for pieces. But we'll get into trades that'll help contextualize that a little bit better later. So let's go into the craziest thing I think I saw. Tyreek Hill dislocated his knee and had ligament damage. And he was smiling. That's the most psychotic stuff I have ever seen in my life. He's sitting there smiling in the ambulance. I don't know if he hated Miami. I don't know what he's doing, but that was the craziest. That was like horror movie stuff for me. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who, you know, people trust as far as they can throw him, but he said today that he got his whole surgery done in one procedure, which means he can be ready for 2026. Now, every Twitter doctor and Stefania Bell and Adam Schefter and all these other people said it's going to take multiple shots at this. So, Mark, what do we do? We can't do – are we stuck?
Yeah, I mean, I get out, right? Like, I mean, I would. I mean, a lot of people were already – I don't know what you're – like, what are we getting for Tyreek Hill right now, really? Like, what are we – especially after this, you're not going to get a – you're probably not going to get – anything, you know, you can't count on him to begin the year. You can't count on, and again, like next year, he'll be what, 32? He'll turn 32 during the season.
I think so. Yeah, and so, he's on the last year of his deal, I think, too.
So, I think right now, if you want to get out, and like you just don't want to deal with it, I don't think it's, you know, I might just take what I can get. But I don't know. What do you think, Rocky?
I think you probably have to take like a third or equivalent player value at this point.
Probably.
Because I think there's a real chance Tyreek doesn't play again. Or if he does, he's just a shell of what he was. Because, I mean, a lot of his game has always been built on speed. And he just destroyed his knee. So at 32, like you said, he's going to turn 32 in March. So, yeah. And honestly, I don't even hate doing that. Because like I said, I think there's a real world where he doesn't even really play again. So, I mean, wasn't it a couple of years ago, actually, that he said he was retiring after the 25 season? He hadn't brought that up again this year. But, I mean, maybe that's what happens now, especially after this. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, with this, like, 50 kids, maybe he can't do that. I don't know. But, but sorry, Frank just like got this grin on his face.
He said it on me.
It's true. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I've now completely lost my train of thought.
50 kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like, yeah, if you want to get out, I have multiple Tyreek shares. If I can get a third for him, I might just do it. Cause I have this feeling he's not going to play again.
Yeah. That's kind of where I don't think it was necessarily too expensive this draft season, but like, I mean, I don't think there's anything, you're holding on to right now that you're not getting him for the full year. If somebody's willing to give you like a third right now, and like I think just the time alone with that asset, you know, can probably yield you something. You know what I mean? Like if not, you're just waiting, and you might be waiting to find out that you're just cutting him, right? Like there's still very much that possibility. So I would be trying to get out, especially if I needed any piece like this year that could help me compete, probably. But even still, I think, you know, if you're going the other way, I think you can take a third and be fine with it.
Would you trade Tyreek for Wandale?
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably the trade. So as crazy as that is. Okay. Joe Mixon doesn't have a timetable for return. It sounds like he's done, and the Marks era started on Sunday. I don't have a lot to add to this. It just, you know, news. And
I'm just sad because I have more Chubb shares than Mark shares.
Yeah. Me too.
Me too.
He looked good. Marks looked good, though. That's exciting.
He did.
And then the Browns. I rolled my eyes at this, so it's not official. But the rumor is the Browns are going to start Dylan Gabriel this week in London against a Brian Flores defense with his best receiver on IR. Like, what? Why now? Like, just let Flacco take a couple more hits in London, by the way.
That's weird to me.
Yeah, why now? Like, it just – I get there's never a good time, and we laughed like hyenas last week when they said, like, Dart was going to start against the Chargers. So maybe we're wrong, but – it just feels weird. And I don't know. Is anyone psyched for the Dylan Gabriel era to start across the pond?
Yeah, it's a really interesting spot to put him in, for sure. No?
No.
I think, you know, there's always a shot because he's a rookie and maybe he's good. But yeah, you know. It's not looking great for Cleveland right now at all, to be honest. And again, after the injury this week with Tillman, I don't feel great about it. You know, like I kind of just think it might be just let's put this guy in so we can have a few games to see if we can put Shador in at the end of the season. So, you know, it's hard to really know exactly what's going to happen. I wasn't a real big Dylan Gabriel believer. But, you know, the Browns are going to brown.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I know Flacco's been really bad. But I just, yeah, like you said, why this week? Why not, like you said, what the Vikings beat up Flacco and not Dylan Gabriel. I don't know who they play next week.
I'm sure it's no better. They don't have a bye next week because I thought, why not wait till the bye? But they're not on bye next week. So
are they one of the teams that's staying a second week?
No, the Vikings did.
I know the Vikings did, but I believe there's an international game next week as well.
They are not staying. Okay. They go to London to play. Shit. They go to Minnesota, or they go to London to play Minnesota, and then they go to Pittsburgh. So, whoops.
Welcome to the NFL.
And then he gets the Dolphins at home and the Patriots, so life gets a little better after that. But, man, he might have no confidence by then.
So they just leave Flacco in for two more weeks, and then...
Right. And then let him get Miami. Yeah, right. Because they have to give Shadur a shot. I love the people who are like one down, one to go, or whatever, for Shadur to come in.
Shadur stinks too. Sorry.
Stinks too. It's all bad.
The reason he was drafted in the fifth.
Yeah, literally. Season news, Lamar Jackson hamstring injury. There's a lot of people freaking out about this. They say he can miss up to 2 to 3 weeks, and the reason they're saying that is because they're buys in week 7. I think he's out until after that. I would be shocked, but they're 1-3. You can't really afford to lose games. So I don't know, but Mark, are you worried?
You're not believing in Cooper Rush, Frank?
I was going to ask you if you knew who their backup was, but
only because he came in that game.
Yeah. Is anyone panicking, Mark? Let's do this. Are you panicking about Derrick Henry? This offense,
now you don't have Lamar
for two more weeks.
I don't see why that would make me panic necessarily about Derrick Henry. Obviously, it's a different game plan with Cooper Rush in there. But they have a strong line. They have a strong run game. Their line has been beat up. But I don't think they're going to be going away from Derrick Henry specifically, especially with, you know, with Lamar being out. But if I were, you know, if I were contending with Lamar, I'd be worried. Obviously, you know, and he's, you know, you've been relying on him. So I'd like to think that after he gets back, you don't have that much to worry about. And it's where, you know, Lamar is still a very competent passer, one of the best in the league. So I don't necessarily think he's bad after the bye. I think it's, you got to take these lumps sometimes in your in your season, right? Like, you're not trading Lamar for anything that's like equitable value for him. So
yes,
I hope you have a good backup. But like, it wouldn't be moving the needle at all for me. I would be a little worried if, you know, through the bye weeks, getting through it. But I mean, it's just 3 weeks. So I'm feeling like, We can, you know, remain calm here as long as you're not like in dire straits.
Yeah. Rocky, anything to add?
I pretty much agree with what Mark said. It's 3 weeks. I feel almost certain it will be because of that bye. It'll be like the fact that you can only have two games and have them sit out three, almost 4 weeks. So, I think that it's not great if you're a Lamar manager, but, Like Mark said, I'm also not worried about Derrick Henry. So I think they'll probably just run the ball more. Hopefully he stops fumbling. but
it's gotta be eating at him, right? Like he's gotta be crazy. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like we could see a Derrick Henry tear through these next 3 weeks.
Especially with that Lamar, they're gonna be loading up to stop Henry, but Henry's a machine and not real. So I feel like he could still make it work.
And I think Cooper Rush is a competent quarterback. I think he's a competent backup. And I think they're like, yeah, he's fine. Like, he's not world beating, but he's good enough. And he's definitely, you know, on a championship contending roster, which at least we thought that they were a few weeks ago. That, you know, I still think he's probably going to do, you know, at about league average. So I'm fine with that, you know, with Cooper Rush being in there and still feeling good about Derrick Henry's value. Because I don't see how they go much further in any other direction than, you know, than they already were.
No. I like Mark Andrews with Rush because that feels like someone who Rush is going to target a lot. So maybe you sell him on the back of that. But they play the Texans and the Rams the next 2 weeks, both at home. The defense could win them the Texans game. The Rams, they might need some help, but we'll see. The other kind of season-long news, Bulls said Bucky's just going to have an MRI just very ominously and then didn't tell us what was wrong with him until like today. But week five is up in the air. We don't know much about him. Cedric Tillman's on IR with a hamstring injury. We discussed that already. Braylon Allen, they said potentially on IR with a sprained MCL. I would guess he is. The reason I have Joe Alt on here is just the Chargers line is very beat up, and the Giants showed it. So that I'd worry about Herbert just a little bit, but Rocky's boy, holy cow, Marian Hampton, welcome to the league. Rocky missed his celebration last week to welcome. So, Rocky, would you like to victory lap on how good Omarion Hampton looks?
I mean, I knew this was coming. So, I mean, I'm not going to crow too much. I mean, it's funny though. I mean, like all the rookies this past week, especially, are starting to like do that breakout. I mean, Quinshon had done it the week before, and Hampton had too. But and now Genty's finally joining the party. So yeah, I mean, you knew all I've loved Hampton ever since I got to watch him during the non-point scoring season. And I just think the sky's the limit. And I think you're going to see a lot more of what you saw this past week.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah. And the last thing I was looking at this the other day. Do you guys remember when tight end was like such a barren wasteland as it is right now? I mean, we talked about it. Ferguson's tight end one, but Bowers is non-existent. McBride is fine.
When Hunter Henry and Juwan Johnson are top five tight ends, that's a problem.
Laporte is nowhere to be found. Can you guys remember when the last, like, and my question is,
stalwarts of Andrews and Kelsey are aging and fading. Yeah.
So I said, my question is, how many tight ends are you confident is, keyword is confident, starting right now? I got to three.
Ferguson,
Bowers, and McBride. Four. Say Kraft still. Oh, Warren. Okay, five.
Kittle, if he's healthy.
I didn't include Kittle.
Has been nice to see Warren hit the ground running at least, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am interested to see how, you know, if the, what are they calling him, Indiana Jones? The Indiana Jones hype continues for the whole season. He's good right now. And I'd say Warren is one. Outside of that, like everybody else is not getting that many targets. You know, that's the thing about, I mean, like really you're hoping for a touchdown no matter what. So, I don't know. I feel like every year, I don't do that many podcasts during the year anymore, but I feel like every year I get this exact question. It's like, when's the last time you thought that tight end was this bad?
But we don't even have the true studs at the top.
Yeah, Bowers is nowhere.
I agree with you. I agree with you there.
Yeah, Bowers has been a disappointment.
Well, I
Kyle Pitts coming back, baby.
That's right. I know. I
think he's going to get a touchdown this week.
Why is tight end such a disappointment, Rocky?
Why is tight end such a disappointment?
Yeah.
Have the answer?
Because they don't matter.
Because they don't matter.
I've been on team tight end doesn't matter for a while, too.
I have someone else.
Well, I don't know. I think we kind of have to. That's the thing about this.
We're going to unionize.
Conundrum we go through every year. How is it this bad again? Eventually, we have to stop realizing that, like, tight end's not going to progress. It's not going to, like, not that there can't be outliers and players that like really, become a major chess piece, especially in a fantasy football league and obviously on the NFL field as well. But at a certain point, we have to realize like that tight end is not going to just like all of a sudden make a pouring of or like a fantasy revolution, because that's not what the NFL is prioritizing when they're drafting tight ends.
I get what you're saying, and this is certainly, bearing out your whole tight ends don't matter thing all non-point scoring season. But because
it's good, I'm right about something.
I just said it a minute ago, but I just don't think it's ever, like, not ever, but for a long time, but at least if this holds up throughout the season, I don't think it's been this bad at the top in a long time. A long time, even as it's been mediocre, we've had Kelsey, we've had Andrews, we've had, whoever, even going back further, like the Jimmy Grahams and the Gronks and the, like, if Bowers does not pick it up and is not the guy, I mean, we have McBride and he hasn't even been like a stud so far. I think it's
McBride and Warren are kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they're both. If we're just going on talent and what we think is going to happen, I would put Bowers in. I still think Bowers is great. But just in terms of actual production, like, nobody's been like, oh my God, they're elite. Like, that's just amazing. Like, the way we usually have at least two or three of those at least every year, there's like no guy like that. Even like you said, Ferguson, I mean, he's mostly just living off, getting he's ridiculous amount of targets. Like,
he's Jason Witten.
Because there's no volume. Yeah.
So I take it neither of you are into former Dynasty darling Darren Waller coming out and lighting it up.
two touchdowns on four targets. I'll believe that when I see it again.
Hey, same Tyreek's gone now. So
yeah, that's true. Goddard was the same thing. He was tight end one on gimmicks. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think Bowers is hurt, by the way, in all seriousness. Like, if people are panicking on Bowers, go try and get him. And I know I said tight ends don't matter, but that doesn't, he doesn't count in that. So
I actually happened to be at the game in New England where Bowers got hurt. And I mean, he didn't come back for the rest of the game, or he came back maybe at the very end, but I don't think he came back for the rest of the game. And I mean, it's definitely a possibility. So, like, you could see him maybe pick it up throughout the year. But that's the NFL. It could also go the other way where he's just really not good all year long. So
that was all kind of his best game of the season.
It was his best game. He was lighting it up. And so I wouldn't discount his talent or his ability, but it is worth mentioning that he did get hurt in that first game. You didn't really recognize it because I think he played week two, right? So
he's played.
Like, so you wouldn't even think about it necessarily, but if it's worse than we thought, because there was a time where we thought he wasn't playing week two and he ended up playing, it was just like a welcome surprise. But it's also like maybe he's just playing hurt and kind of shouldn't be. But we'll see.
It's a good point.
Trying to find when their bye is. His bye is in 2 weeks, week eight. I think that's the bye NATO this year is week eight. I think if people are really panicking, like, in all seriousness, go try and get him. Don't overpay. And
do it before week eight.
Yeah, right. Before week eight. Yeah, because everyone's panicking now. And Roman said in the chat, and Njoku's killing all owners too. Yeah, the Browns guys kind of crushed us too. Like, because everyone, including myself, bought in on the Fannin thing week one, and he's been a ghost. So, all right, Mark, do you want to do trade X trades or listener questions? We have more trades than questions, if that helps you decide.
Let's go with listener questions.
All right, listener questions. Starting with Barely Fantasy at barelyfantasy.bsky.social. He just said, nice get for the show, meaning Mark. Hey. And he said he'd love to hear about Matthew Boyd set to pitch for my Cubs this afternoon, who did win this afternoon on a very ugly win, but holy cow, win's a win. And one of my questions, my random question this week is, do you have a favorite baseball player? Because the postseason started today.
So the real answer is no. But I'll go back to when I did like baseball, and that was Derek Jeter. So I actually have – I was the kid who somehow got Derek Jeter to sign his baseball glove and still – and in my head, I was like, I can only play with this glove.
Yes.
So I played like two or three seasons with a Derek Jeter signed glove, and obviously as I became an adult, I'm like, what was I doing?
Like Mike taught us, that's how you get the superpowers.
The powers didn't transfer for me though.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Rocky, do you have a favorite baseball player? And Rocky, are you a Phillies fan? I know you like all things Philly, but you okay.
Yeah, I'm a Phillies fan. I didn't actually realize the playoffs had started today because
you're on bye. The
Phillies are on bye. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Nice flex.
But if we're talking like all time, it would probably be Chase Utley. He was just like the quintessential like Philly baseball, Philly sports player, basically. Like, you know, all like the kind of guy Philadelphia loves, like grit and smarts and all that, but also a lot of talent. Won a World Series here, so yeah, he would probably be my that whole team was like the highlight of my baseball following time.
Yeah,
it's basically it was him, Rollins, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard.
Yeah,
loved all those guys. Yep.
And Roman says Rhino Sandberg. That's a good one. That was a little before my time in Chicago. So I grew up, obviously, in Chicago. Most people know this. I didn't have the whole Cubs versus Sox thing. I still don't. I just don't. It's stupid. They're never competing for the World Series against each other. So it's not like the New York teams where they actually competed like within the last 20 years against each other. But I kind of root for both. But my favorite player has been Clayton Kershaw. And watching his retirement the other day, I thought was pretty cool. His curveball, when it was first becoming a thing, just watching the floor come out of it is just the craziest movement I've ever seen on a pitch. So he's my favorite player, and I've actually gotten to meet him once or twice. He's just an awesome dude. So he lives around where where I went to college. So I got to see him in a couple places. So I think baseball is exciting. I actually am one of those people. I don't know if you guys are that doesn't get into baseball till like right now. But
oh, that's kind of me too. I'm basically a Phillies fan. Once the playoffs come is when I kind of start watching like every game. But I follow it. I follow it as much as I can along the way. But it's no football.
Yeah,
yeah. Until this time, the number of games for me is just too much. Until this time of year, I'm a minor league games with my family kind of guy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I'll go to Wrigley and every because it's Wrigley, but I won't, you know, I'm not going for the game. So, all right, let's get into Dine Studs list. He said, I'm more of an analytics-minded player. Social tried to acquire a bunch of McConkey. Oh, I don't think he meant so. I don't know. Tried to acquire a bunch of McConkey in the offseason with no success. Seems like I lucked out. But seriously, how does a team like that sign a scrap heap guy like Keenan, make him wide receiver one over their young stud? Make it make sense, Mark. Why is Keenan doing better?
Because he's had a rapport with Justin Herb. I think it's just like we found out last year that by the end, Keenan wasn't really that washed that we thought he was. And, you know, when he's coming back on a really team friendly contract, which was not the case when he went to Chicago, I can see how you could just pick right back up. And it's just like old times. Long-term, I don't think this is this year, probably not great for McConkey, but I don't think long-term it's necessarily the worst thing. I'm not a huge Ladd McConkey buyer or believer. Like, I think he's adequate. I think like he's, you know, he's kind of that wide receiver too. Like going before the season, I was kind of fine with that price. But I get why Keenan is doing well. It's just, it makes sense. Like, again, like Keenan's a great route runner. He's always where you want him to be. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing long-term for the Chargers. But yeah, for McConkey's player value right now, it's not the greatest thing, but again, long-term it could be better for him just because he has another guy who has such good rapport with Herbert that, you know, they can start to work together and learn off each other. And that's good for a young, not rookie, second year sophomore.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about my thoughts on McConkey. So I do wonder, like, is this like, was it, I'm trying to think if it was not the one that played for Detroit. Was it Mike Williams that played for the Bucks and had that one great year, like his rookie year? And then,
yes.
And then did like nothing there, not nothing, but was never never as good. The rest is that not, they're very different types of receivers, but I do wonder if that could be McConkey. Like the fact that Quentin Johnston is doing what he's doing,
dangerous territory you're putting McConkey in right now.
I'm saying the fact that Quentin Johnston is doing what he's doing alongside Keenan Allen, and it's not McConnell. Like, what is that telling us? Like, I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. Like, I had my doubts already, and then I did not expect the Quentin Johnston revival, but he's basically like, at least from a fantasy perspective, he's their wide receiver three, like in terms of who's doing well. So like, I don't know. I did not believe coming in, and now he's just been even worse than even I thought. So I don't know. I'm concerned.
Roman, I'll get to your question in a second. I think if you are a rebuilder, you should be buying McConkey. And here's why. Because Keenan Allen is on a one-year deal, and then the volume's coming right back. And I know Gadsden and all these other little pieces are there, but it's going to be McConkey again.
No.
If it's bad right now. I get it. I'm buying McConkey as a rebuilder. If I have – I'll think of a contending asset in a second, but there's a buying opportunity here because I think there are going to be contenders who are freaking out right now.
I 100% agree.
What the price is, though, to me, if they want McConkey, you know, close to McConkey in the non-point scoring season price, I'm not paying that.
I don't think they can. And I think, you know, you obviously hope that this continues a little longer down the road and you can, you know, eventually get that price if they're not, you know, if they're not willing to come down right now. But no, I 100% agree with you, Frank. I think really in this scenario, Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen are both kind of house money, right? Like Ladd McConkey being good gave them the opportunity. Like, again, like when you add Keenan Allen, who has that chemistry already built in with the quarterback, and can play the outside and give McConkey more work in the slot. And then you have Quentin Johnston. I guess is he working as the flanker right now? I think he's working as the flanker, but it's just like, again, like I imagine the coverage for Quentin Johnston is great right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now that he's, you know, it's paying off, I think maybe people will start paying a little more attention. But at the same time, like, I just think this is a really healthy receiving offense, just not for fantasy. Like, it's very much kind of like a Bills scenario where anyone's getting fed, right? Like, it's just I don't necessarily think McConkey won't have his games this year. I think he'll have games, but I think it's just going to be harder to predict with all of them. And that's just kind of how it's going to be. You're just going to be happy about it with Keenan and Quentin Johnston because you paid double digit round picks, you know, for them at the time. So, right now it doesn't feel great with McConkey just based on, you know, opportunity cost.
Yeah. Roman asked Abuka or McConkey.
Probably it's gotta be Abuka right now.
It's
probably.
So easily Abuka to me.
I'm
so mad. I listen to other people and I have almost no Abuka and I'm so mad about it.
I have zero.
No dynasty shares, unfortunately.
Yeah. Here's where I'm struggling with Abuka just a little bit. And one of the podcasts I listen to too many, pointed this out. He is very fluky. I mean, he had at least one touchdown this weekend, as Rocky would tell you as an Eagles fan, that had no business being scored. He was like a decoy and none of the Eagles watched him.
It also two Eagles just missed batting in the
way. Right. That was the other one. So he's very fluky. He had four catches this week. He's just, there's going to be some regression coming for Abuka. He's not going to be wide receiver four as he is right now.
Good though. Just
he's looked great.
Especially I was watching the end of the Jets game a couple of weeks ago and he looked great in that when they were trying to come back, you know, they were going back and forth at the end. So yeah.
Evans is going to come back. Godwin came back this week. It's gonna regress a little bit for Abuka, but I'd still take him over McConkey. Would you take AJ Brown or McConkey? Mr. King, 7 yards himself.
Oof. Age-wise, it's probably got to be McConkey just right now. But if it was a redraft, it's AJ Brown easy.
I would take AJ just because I don't believe in McConkey. So.
I don't think this is going to.
I know it's been a bad month. I don't think this is going to keep up.
Well, he plays Sertan this weekend, so that's not going to get any better. All right, let's ask his running mate. Would you rather have Devontae Smith or McConkey?
There, I'm probably Devontae's there. Like, just again, I think Devontae Smith just on age alone, it just makes way more sense.
Yep.
Yeah, I would take Devontae.
All right, we're going lower. DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I'd take DK probably.
Holy cow.
I think I would actually. No, I like it, like if you want somebody for this year, I'm not saying that I want to pay just straight up, but if you want somebody for this year, DK is, he's looked good. I don't know. I've always been more of a believer in DK.
I'm with most, Mark.
Wow, you don't like DK either, Rocky. You didn't this year or going into this with Rodgers, but
yeah, I don't, but I like DK in general. Like,
Like the talent. You like the concept of DK, Rodgers, yeah. Number one wide receiver. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, no one looked so fast while looking so slow than DK on that slant touchdown. I know his strides are like 10 yards, but man, it looks like he's rumbling and
it's still strong speed. Everybody. It's strong speed.
All right, last one. McConkey or patreon.com/trackspot, the jersey hanging behind Mark, Jalen Waddle.
Oh, you're doing it to me.
Hill's out.
Oh man, that's tough.
I can't not say Waddle. I've been pro Waddle ever since he came in. Like, I've been such a Waddle stan ever since he came
in. So have I. I feel like this is I feel like it's a betrayal if I say no. I think I still believe in Waddle enough. I do believe enough in McConkey that like it can turn around, and again, like in a year when at least Keenan Allen might be off the books, I could definitely see it coming right back. But I think,
I'm clearly a McConkey hater. I'm curious how low we can get before I say McConkey.
I was gonna say
this is a fun game, actually.
Let's keep going
another hour if we want.
Let's keep going. Pickens.
Ooh, I think it's Pickens right now, but
I think for Dynasty, I think we hit the wall.
Pearsall's above him.
I think it's got to be McConkey.
McLaurin's above him. I'd rather have McLaurin. Golden is below Pickens, and he looks like something I was right about too. Man, they all stink. All three of them. Then you get into Godwin, Judy, Pittman. I think the wall is Pickens.
Okay, that's where we go.
So
that's why you just stop.
If you're so if you're contending and you want to swap like Pickens for McConkey, what would you need?
You need a second on the Pickens side, I think. Or insert old running back. You know, is there any old running backs anymore? because Connor's Rocky, out.
Pickens in a second for McConkey? I think I'd do Pickens in a second for McConkey.
Would I trade Pickens in a second for McConkey?
No, would you?
Either way.
Yeah. Say you had McConkey on any roster.
Yeah.
And you're contending. You're contending.
Oh, yes. I would move McConkey for Pickens in a second, probably. Yes, if I'm contending.
Yeah. I'm really just saying this because that's what I mean. I'm
Pickens
only
is 24.
I just don't think it's it's as close as people or as
far.
What about McLaurin, who's been dog water this year? And are you getting out of McConkey and buying that McLaurin's going to fix this, or is Debo the wide receiver one?
If I'm moving McConkey, I'm trying to do better than McLaurin.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Kicking a man while he's down and out right now.
No, I know, but it's McConkey's probably one of, if not the most volatile player in Dynasty right now.
If I can put my tinfoil hat on for a second, what are we thinking of Luke McCaffrey? I would really like my Dynasty shares to do really well for Luke McCaffrey.
So what are we thinking, guys?
It feels like the guy who bunked with Mariota at camp, and when Jaden Daniels comes back, he's going to be nothing again.
It's so hard for me to talk about McConkey because I have no McConkey. Like, I was
I don't either.
I have no McConkey. So,
We'll see. And I think it's McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr. are the two most volatile people right now, and in terms of what people might want and what people would give. So.
I can't quit Brian Thomas Jr. just yet, though.
I'm getting there.
I was going to ask you guys. Brian Thomas Jr. is another one I have zero of, and I was.
I don't have any dynasty shares. I took him second round in a redraft, and I'm 0-4, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, so. I don't know what I do know what it's Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence is not good, people. I've been saying this for years.
I know. Roman asks who's the first coach fired this year. I still think it's McDaniel. I don't care that he won yesterday. Could be Zach Taylor, but I think Burrow's going to protect him.
Yeah, I think it's probably McDaniel.
Probably McDaniel.
I'm just trying to think who else stinks right now.
I don't think anyone's bad enough right now to.
I mean, dang, the way they're talking about LaFleur in Green Bay. They're going to make that mistake one of these days, but they shouldn't,
I put in a chat somewhere over the weekend. Remember 8 days ago when the Green Bay looked like a Super Bowl contender? So bad. It was like, it's crazy. Like how quick that turned around.
Yeah. All right. We talked about McConkey for 20 minutes. We can move on. I had a team that was supposed to be a solid contender. I lost the first 2 weeks and lost Burrow, CeeDee, Najee, and even Jalen Warren last week. By the way, I played Jalen Warren in the league. Stupid London game. Since losing Burrow, I've been trying to get my first back with no success. Rocky, this is our favorite question. And the answer is usually your firstborn child. What do you have to – and we'll go to Rocky first and then Mark. What do you have to give to get your own first back?
Well, I wanted to answer – he said, what do you do as a forced rebuilder without your first was his actual question, though.
Yeah.
I wanted to answer that, too, because I hate this idea – that you have to get your first back or else
Rocky
you have
to compete. All in, baby. We don't need picks for 3 years.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, if you're bad and you don't have your first, that doesn't mean that you just have to, like, not try and rebuild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You can get depending on what your team is, you could still potentially get multiple firsts that just aren't the 101. People are so obsessed that I'm rebuilding, I have to get the 101. I've said this millions of times in this pod, that I have to get the 101 because I'm bad and I'm tanking. Like, no, you can be bad, settle off your team, and have the 102, the 105, the 109, and the 112, and still be pretty good, in a good spot to rebuild. So, I mean, it depends on what assets you have that you're willing to sell off. I'm not saying everybody can get four first, but I don't think you have to get your first just because you're rebuilding and not bad. But he even says here that, like, he was expecting to be a solid contender, which makes me think that the rest of his team, besides the, few pieces he shared here, it must be somewhat good. So if it's largely because Burrow and CD got hurt, just sell off a couple old pieces and hope you turn it around next year. I don't know. Like, I don't think you have to go crazy. Like he says, what do you do as a forced rebuilder without your first? Like, I don't even think you have to go crazy trying to rebuild. Just keep trying, just keep plugging away and try not to make yourself be the 101 and then come back at it next year.
Right. This is pretty much exactly how I think of it is like, if you can't be the 101, I think it kind of allows you sometimes to make deals that are a little less desperate. Like I think sometimes when you have your first pick, you feel like, okay, well, I gotta get every point scoring player off this roster,
Which I hate. I've seen people move like second or third year receivers like that are good just to get points off the roster. It's ridiculous,
right? I think Rocky, you pretty much nailed it. And when you said like get the old players or the players that are going to be perceived as old next year off your roster at the very least, you can start with that kind of like release. At least trades for those players, right? Right now, see if you can recoup some value. And then again, if you can get a few picks, maybe you can figure out a way. Maybe you're willing to get rid of another player, you know, and move your way up the board and get higher picks. That's fine too. But right now, if you're contending, I imagine you probably don't have a lot of picks. That's usually when I'm contending. I know I don't have any picks. So I think right now you just got to get yourself in the game. If you really feel like you're at a point where like you are, you know, you can't contend, you need to, I think you just got to do what you can to get in the game and start with the things that are going to, you know, are going to benefit you most for your roster next year, because again, you probably don't have that bad a roster that couldn't contend next year.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, like, what are we thinking Burrow next year? Are we, I mean, we're back to Burrow probably being at least a back end quarterback one.
I think people will be a little more scared this time personally, because I think if he keeps getting hurt, he's close to prone at this point. I mean, when was the last time he played 16 games or 17 games? Has he? So I think people will get scared, but
I can see what you're saying there, but I also think, you know, do we imagine the Bengals aren't going to like try and invest a little bit more in the offensive line this coming year? And
I've said that for 3 years now though.
I know. I guess you're right about that. But you know, Joe likes his receivers, man. So
yes.
this is what it is.
I should have said this during the news. Can we get anyone else on the Bengals? Browning looks awful. I mean, like,
I know. I thought he was going to be half decent.
I thought he was going to be. I know it's Denver. I get it. It's Denver on the road, whatever. But I maybe give him one more week, but we gotta start seeing stuff from Browning, or else we, like, I know Cleveland.
Desmond Ridder. Yeah, right. Desmond Ridder in that, John.
By the way, to answer your question, Burrow played 17 last year.
Did he really?
Yeah, it didn't feel like, yes, it. But it's the only year. Well, there's 2 years with 16. I don't know if he just sat, you know, at the end of the season. But there's also 3 years, including this one, where he has not. So it's basically 3-3.
That's crazy. It feels like he's never played it. I was just looking. The Bengals play the Lions at home this week. So Browning's got to face another bad defense. And Roman says Kirk Cousins, they're just not going to do it. And whatever Raheem Morris said was super weird, and I acknowledge that. But, and for those who didn't see it, he was like, you know, Kirk Cousins got benched last year, and Penix has done nothing to deserve that. And that's just super weird and toxic towards Kirk Cousins. And it's like, so trade him then. But
why? Yeah. Why is he not? I don't get it.
Because they're going into their bye this week. And would anyone be completely shocked if they come out and Kirk Cousins is starting next week?
I kind of would. Not that I don't understand where they're coming from based on Penix's play through four games, but I mean, you gave him three starts last year. You gotta see a full season out of the guy. Yeah. Like I don't think there's really much room for Kirk until the season is lost. Like I think the season itself is going to have to be lost before they even start considering it.
Yeah.
Oh, so back to the Bengals. Can we send Jameis there?
I said Jameis or Flacco. They won't send Flacco in division, but Flacco would fit well in that. Just a gunslinging offense. Just
Jameis, yeah, slinging it around to T and Jamar Chase.
Flacco might actually be better for that team because Jameis turns the ball over a lot. Flacco doesn't do that as much. But I would love Jameis and give him like number zero. And let's get super weird with it. So, all right, let's move on to the TradeX trades. TradeX leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They always hold. And we have TA1 trades. The first one is DJ Moore and a 26 third because it had to be there, and for Mark Andrews. Mark, what do you think?
I think give me the DJ Moore side, but I don't know. These are not people I'm trying to target on either side of this trade.
This was actually me, by the way.
Which side are you?
I'll let you two talk about it, then I'll say which side I let's be neutral.
I don't know. I don't think DJ Moore's career is like fully over. I don't necessarily.
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey.
Johnson doesn't like him at all.
What do you, I was just going to ask, what do you think, Frank?
I have a couple Bears fans I have group chats with, and I'm like, what if we just traded DJ Moore to the Jets for Breece Hall right now? And this was before Braylon Allen. Like, but DJ doesn't fit, and Johnson just doesn't like him for some reason. And the problem is he makes too much money, so you can't just get rid of him, but something's off, and it has been all like the media was like, you know, Johnson doesn't like that DJ dogs it on run blocks and all these other things. I struggle with where DJ fits in this offense. And I don't think it's as a wide receiver one. I think Odunze has clearly taken that at this point.
Sure.
And Burden's getting better by the week. And Zacchaeus somehow has more targets than DJ Moore. So something's off with DJ, and I don't know what it is. But I think Johnson doesn't like it very much.
That doesn't surprise me. But could I see, you know, if DJ Moore suddenly gets traded to, like, I don't know, let's pick a team that needs a receiver right now.
That's why I said the Jets. He played with Fields. Yeah.
Jets, I'm not that big of a believer. But, okay, say San Francisco, like, comes
Buffalo.
Or Buffalo comes calling. If it's Buffalo, people might be like, oh, we're doing
If it's there. Buffalo, people are going to lose their freaking minds.
Right. I mean, Buffalo, that's what I mean. The Giants. They have the money to do that, by the way. Right. I think if the Giants come calling and say, like, hey, we're going to give you, I don't know, fifth round pick for DJ Moore. Maybe not even that. Like, I think people still might get excited and want to have him on a team over Andrews, but that's just, I don't know. So, I've also, sorry.
This was somewhat team dependent. TA1, I'm trying to contend, and in this tight end wasteland, I don't even have like anything halfway decent. So I got the Mark Andrews side here. I have a ton of DJ Moore shares, and I am very, I've heard, Scott Sidlow, a friend of mine, and he's also a Bears fan, and he does not speak highly of DJ Moore either, and his spot there in Chicago. And I know, like you said, he could go somewhere else. I wanted to get a tight end, and I have decent receivers on this roster. I have Amon-Ra. A lot of the other guys are older. I have Keenan. I have Devontae. So I don't need DJ Moore. I don't know if it was entirely equal value, but I wanted to get a tight end, and DJ Moore is another one of those guys I've been a stan of forever, but I'm just starting to have severe doubts going forward. And it's not like he's ever going to increase in value at this point. You basically want DJ Moore for points. And right now he's not providing points, and I'm not 100% sure when he will again.
That's all fair. I'm kind of fine with that. I'm actually the opposite, where I've never been a DJ Moore fan. And now because everyone is coming off of where they had him ranked.
Yes.
Now I'm like, okay, I can try at this price. Like, you know, like at the end of the day, he's still like right now, he's probably going for what, you know, mid to late wide receiver three value. Just based on this beginning of the year. So I'll take a shot at DJ Moore there, but I mean,
he's 28, by the way. I know we're all older than that, but that's old for a wide receiver. I mean, I always feel weird saying 28's old.
And also, he's old. The trade, this is 1.75 premium too, and I, you know,
so that's fair. Yeah,
and I do see Andrews. Those first couple games were rough fantasy wise, but I feel like it's going to be a lot like last year, where he's going to get targeted plenty.
I'm scared of Likely still a little bit, but I get your point. Okay, next one, Darren Waller for a 26th third. This just feels.
I just put that on there just to like simple. Bring up Waller after last night and the Tyree.
My answer to this would be sure.
I put this one here. Are you interested at all in acquiring Waller? Was basically the reason I put this trade on here.
No,
I mean, I maybe try to push that third out a year or two if I could. Even
Malik Washington, man, that guy looks great.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, if you need it again in these trade addicts leagues and you need tight ends, I mean, like,
yeah,
I mean, granted, I'm not contending this year, but I'm starting Harold Fannin or Tyler Higbee every week right now. So it's, it's hard out here. So yeah, I mean, if you feel like you could bolster your team and just have a little more tight end depth for 26 third feels maybe like a lot, because we were literally, no one was even saying his name until like a week ago. Yeah. So like, but yeah, no, I mean, fine. Do what you want. Go with God.
That's basically what I feel like. It's fine. Like, I'm probably not sending a third, but if you want to, I have no problem with it.
All right.
We got done with this. I'm never going to be mad about pick trades because I don't value picks. So they're always going to come out and I'll just be like, yeah, sure. If you feel that way, go for it.
All right. We ate the salads. Let's eat. Jonathan Taylor, 26 first, 27 first. Now let's get into it.
Also me.
you're buying Jonathan Taylor.
100%. He is.
I'm selling Jonathan Taylor. Yes.
Then okay. You got a haul. That's good.
Yes. I would do that. Absolutely. Sell at that price. If someone's giving you two firsts for Jonathan Taylor right now, please. I'm happy to take that.
That's exactly it. I sent this to multiple people. I was trying to win in TA5 and it's not going well. And he's easily probably the best asset I have on that team. And after the way he started off, especially, I figured I could try and get this, and I'm happy to take two first right now.
Amen to that. I don't have a lot to add. I think it's a great trade, especially if you're rebuilding, and I don't even care right where now? Those firsts are. Taylor's like 25, 6.
Yeah, I wanted to say 26, but I don't know for sure.
I need to get two firsts for a running back at 26. Not that he's not a good running back. He's not. We're not. We can't all 26. Think everyone's a can't think everyone's Saquon. We can't think everyone's McCaffrey. We just can't. And while I think he's great, I don't think he's quite there. And so 26 years old, two first, sign me up. I'm taking.
I mean, getting two firsts for a running back period is pretty hard.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I like the trade, especially if you're rebuilding. And I, by the way, like
basically this, sure this is starting to rebuild.
Yeah. I'm sure this is a contender who Taylor's probably like his last piece to win it all, go win it all.
Yep.
And if you do, the picks don't matter. So that's how I look at it. All right. This trade sent the Discord ballistic today. TA6, Malik Nabers and Chuba Hubbard for Puka Nacua. Mark.
I am a staunch Puka believer, and I will happily take the Puka side. I'm probably on the wrong side of what people are saying.
I don't know which side is the right side, because Puka's, like, you know, if we did a redraft today, Puka's number one pick right now. If we did a redraft draft, like right now, he's number one. By a lot. I mean,
this is tough because I consider these guys pretty equal. And it's not like, I think a lot of people probably view Malik Nabers as more talented than Puka, especially since he had more pedigree coming out. But I don't necessarily agree with that. And I don't think situation is necessarily better, even though he may lose Stafford soon. I mean, Dart just came in. So, you know, even just ignoring the injury, because I'm ignoring the injury because I expect Malik Nabers to be back. And, I mean, I know that's probably why this trade was made, but dynasty value wise, he's still, you know, in his second year and has plenty of career ahead of him. So I think I want the Puka side because I just don't value Chuba at all. And they are very, very, very similar in value to me.
So the reason I just rolled my eyes is because I thought this was in response to me beating J. Mike in TA6, and I lost to J. Mike by 1.4. That's crazy, rough. Dude. And by the way, this is J. Mike just taking one of his Infinity Stones and turning it into another one. So
yeah,
he traded Nabers and Chuba away for Puka to add to his super team. So I get the trade for both sides. I don't know Hogue's team. I can look, but I think it seems rebuilding if that was the move he made. Although he had 173 this week, so who knows? I'm looking at his team. It's fairly contending, actually. So I don't know. It's a fun trade, though.
What I want to know is, like, what are people not seeing in Puka still? He might be the most, like, right now, he's like maybe one of the most consistent fantasy assets you can have.
I don't think it's Puka.
Right, but that's okay. But why? Okay, so what are we worried about? Like Stafford not being there for? Okay, yes. Okay, he's not gonna. Yeah, I get that. There's the back issues. There's the thing. There's that uncertainty. But I mean, like, he's there and he's dealing right now. First of all, I don't think that's gonna change unless there's an injury, which I'm not expecting really to happen because Stafford is also kind of in that Brady ilk where he gets the ball out faster than almost anybody in the league right now. When he's got to throw it. So who knows when he retires? We don't really know that. But I will tell you that I am way more confident in what the Rams front office can do to help keep Puka. One, they're going to keep Puka. They're a great organization. I don't necessarily think that way about the Giants. It's why I'm not a Giants fan really anymore. So for me, I love Malik. He's a great player. But I'm unsure about where he is with Jackson Dart necessarily.
I would argue Puka's situation is better. Like you said, the organization, I know the quarterback is an issue, you know, not an issue, but like we don't know for sure what the situation is going to be there going forward. But you don't know what it is with the Giants either. Jackson Dart had one nice game. So, I mean, I'm not saying Jackson Dart is great for Malik Nabers either. And I have a lot more confidence that Sean McVay will figure something out at quarterback 100%. And that in a Sean McVay offense.
That was my point. Is Dable even the coach when Malik comes back next year?
Probably not.
That's what I mean. So like, what are we even really talking about here? There's so much more. There's so much more risk. I feel like with Malik being injured, having the year off, not knowing how long it's going to take for him to ramp up back again and actually start playing. If he's going to look good when he is playing to start the year, if he's going to be in a good system, if Jackson Dart is going to be figured out and a flop, or if he's going to be a good quarterback. And again, a year without actually getting to, you know, have chemistry with Jackson Dart just makes it feel like it's just going to be another fresh start all over again next year. So there's so much that I'm unsure of there. But really, for me, it's that I feel so sure in Puka right now. Like, I could even – I could see maybe people being worried about injury, but one, you have to deal with that with every player. There's no sure thing. And I don't really like to like subscribe to injury prone players, but like even last year, Puka was, I think, the wide receiver two for the rest of the way once he came back, and he did miss games, but he also missed a lot of games because of what we were talking about with Lamar, the bye week shuffle. Where he got hurt, they were saying basically from I think week four, or week five that he was able to play, but they would just kind of deal with it as you know as they felt they needed. Jordan Whittington, at least early on, was serviceable, and then by the time, but at least it was enough to get them back through that bye week. I think it was week eight, and then he came back week nine. Maybe it was he came back week eight, but either way, I know he missed a few games in there that they were saying he could have played. So I don't even really like the injury tag that people put on Puka because he fights for hard yards, but he's also like built to handle that. Like you don't discount Derrick Henry for that kind of thing as a running back. Like, why are we discounting Puka as a wide receiver for that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was second only to Chase once he came back in week eight last year.
So like, three things.
When he's on the field, he's one of the most consistent receivers there is.
Three things. One, comparing him to Derrick Henry is funny because Derrick Henry, as we speak, is probably like is like crushing bowling balls as his hand workout, so he doesn't fumble anymore.
I'm not trying to like compare. That's not even really what I mean. I'm just saying like we don't knock other players that are tough. Other players get injuries and fight for tough yardage and do tough jobs.
But that's what gets them on the field and gets them to the point where they're so consistent that you want them on your fantasy team.
Yeah. Derrick Henry's hand exercises are to pop watermelons with his hands.
he's still doing that home auto life workout.
Definitely. Point number two, let's calm down on Jackson Dart and his debut. The Chargers lost that game. The Giants didn't win it. Dart was 13 for 20 for 111 yards and one touchdown and was sacked five times. Like, let's pump the brakes a second. And number three, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot, Mr. Puka. How many wide receivers are you taking in front of him in Dynasty?
Oh, jeez, why? I mean,
I think I know your answer, by the way, but I want
to. For me, I try not to think so linearly, but I would say Chase being down really, really makes this rougher. But yeah, I'd go with Chase, Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and probably Puka, and I would all kind of keep them. But that's, again, this is like pre-injury and all that too. Yeah.
I had four. I thought you were going to say Amon-Ra too, but I think that's fair.
Nope. It's been not that I don't like Amon-Ra, and he's not like right there. But I have us Puka believers. and when I say Puka believers, the people just happened to draft him that year. Yeah. It's a special place in our heart right now for Puka. Like I've told people this too. Like, one, I do think that he's up there in the top tier, in my platinum tier of wide receivers. So I think he's worth that value, and there's sentimental value. So I'm not trying to like sell him for too much, but I love Puka.
Yeah. All right. TA9, Kyler Murray, Michael Pittman, Kyle Williams, cause he had to be there. Jordan Love and a 24 Jordan Love and a 26 first. So Kyler, Pittman, Kyle Williams for the worst quarterback in the NFC North and 26 first. Sorry, what? Oh, I'm sorry. JJ's still there. Never mind. Second worst quarterback in the NFC North.
I'm probably taking Jordan Love in the first, I think. That's just me.
I don't see, I like Kyler.
He's been bad, man.
Kyler, yeah, I don't think I want to pay a first
time to be a Kyler defender.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to pay a first on top of Jordan Love, and I don't really care about Michael Pittman and Kyle Williams, so I got to take the Love in the first time.
So the other part of this is like, and this isn't really necessarily about the trade, but I feel like every year there's some like bad, you know, we get some bad news and bad like information about Kyle, like even just from the, you know, the Call of Duty kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like there's always like little red flags that you pick up, but now I feel like even the language this year is shifting overall more negative for Kyle. Like this could be his last year being a starter for a while. Kind of language, you know what I mean? Like it's so that scares me in itself. And so if somebody's willing to give you a first and Jordan Love, I'm happy to take that. Not that I love Kyler and he's been a great fantasy asset, but it doesn't sound great right now with him.
I will say too, by the way, because I just dismissed him, but Michael Pittman has been better than I expected through four games.
He's the wide receiver on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I just looked that up too, at least on TA scoring. Like I knew he had been better than I was thinking. So I shouldn't just completely dismiss him as part of that trade, but I still don't want to give up the first.
Yeah. Can you guys guess which side I'm taking?
The Kyler side?
Yes, the Kyler side. And Roman is in the chat. Roman, I just checked in on our little wager. I said if Jordan Love finishes outside the top 10 again, Roman's not allowed to call him a top dynasty QB anymore. And he's QB 11 right now. So we're riding that line, Roman. All right, let's move on to TA 11. We have Bucky 26 fourth and a 27 fourth because they had to be there for Keenan Allen and a 27 first. So it's Bucky for Keenan and a 27 first. Ignore the fourths. This is a fun trade. I actually like this one a lot.
I think I like the Keenan Allen side, actually.
I know, which is weird.
I do too, because you're getting points and future out of it.
Again, I'd be happy selling Bucky Irving for I mean, I don't know what the first looks like. It's a 27 first too. So, but like, to get Keenan's putting up points right now, and you're getting a first for a running back. I'm kind of fine with that.
Yeah, and I think the value is fine for the person that's buying Bucky too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think you're taking much of a hit, if any. And I don't even know what they're. I mean, Keenan may have scored more points this year than Bucky, but I
probably has.
That's,
yeah, but I'm just saying. I think overall they're kind of like even-ish.
They're comparable.
The whole year, yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I'd say is this Bucky injury is a little. You know, it puts things in flux a little bit.
Yeah. Assuming it's not serious or anything, but. But yeah, getting the 27 first on top of it. I mean, obviously you're getting a lot more out of Bucky after this year than you are Keenan Allen, most likely. With running backs, you never know. But it is only his second year, so I mean, there's that. But the way I look at it, you're replacing. You know, you're getting a 27 first for a running back, like you said, and not losing probably like any of the points you would have gotten from him this year, or very little.
Yeah, I would take the Bucky side, but I get both sides. Just
same
personal preference.
In general, but I think most of these trades have been pretty even.
I think they've been fun. Yeah.
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 Okay. George Pickens and Michael Pittman for Rashad Bateman, a 20 and someone's draft, a 26 first, second, and third. So this is clearly a rebuilder contender swap.
If it's a contender first, I think the George Pickens side makes sense for sure.
I would also take the Pickens and Pittman side. I still think Daniel Jones is going to come back to earth at some point, but I know he kind of did this week, but that was kind of fluky. A.D. Mitchell cost him like 10 points. So,
true.
I'm buying the Colts, and I didn't think I would. But, and I know it's gonna, I know I'm gonna get bit the moment I really do buy in, but give me the Pickens Pittman side.
I'm really not sure about the, like, I think you had to take the player side, but I can see both sides of it. I'm not sure if that first is definitely contending or not. I think it probably is. But
it
yeah.
Is now.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And Pickens is, yeah. I mean, I think Pickens in Dallas, I think, is going to be really nice. You know, just especially this year specifically, because their defense is not good.
Yeah.
Because Dak's going to be flinging the ball around.
That was fun to see, by the way, that game.
Yeah.
That was old school Pickens right there. So
and like we just said, Pittman is Pittman at least so far has been solid. So
yep.
Just gotta wait for that back to not wait for it, but hope that back holds up, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Pickens is fun, especially right now with CD out. And I mean, he could have some more boom games like this for at least the next few weeks, and
who's gonna have one this week?
Exactly. So, like, I think it's not a bad time to buy him for this price.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I like it.
There's not an over I wouldn't take in that Cowboys Jets game. That's gonna be awesome. I think Fields and Dak are just gonna sling it.
70 point over.
Yeah. That'd be so fun. Okay, last one. Daniel Jones and George Pickens again for Chase Brown and David Montgomery, who I think combined for like 3 points this week.
Yeah, I think you have to be good. I mean, like, Daniel Jones and George Pickens right now, especially if this is, again, a this year trade.
Yeah.
Like, David Montgomery, I'm not sure how much longer we can rely on it. Next year, Chase Brown, we're hoping is a good thing. Right now, I think he's going to be a non-factor just based on the team. Not that he can't catch passes for you. But I would say, again, right now, Daniel Jones is dealing. George Pickens is lighting it up. So I'd be taking that side if we're going for a player swap.
Yeah, this is pretty easily the Pickens and Jones side for me. And I'm probably a little more of a believer in the whole Daniel Jones thing than you are, Frank.
Which is shocking.
Well, I know I've said this though, like at the start of the season or in the past couple weeks, at least at some point. I know I said it. The whole Steichen thing is what has me believing. I just think he's a really good offensive mind, and we saw not Anthony Richardson, but ancient Flacco was looking good there, and all the he's just. Generally had decent quarterback play, and he was really good when he was here with the Eagles. And I just think this could be, at least for this year, be a real thing, and Jones just keeps this up the entire year. He's not like, a stud, but he's a very above-average fantasy quarterback the entire
year. Yes.
And we just talked about Pickens. So, and the other part is, the other two pieces do, very little for me. To me, it's not even close. Chase Brown, I don't expect much of this entire year with no Burrow and a bad offensive line. And I'm not positive you're getting next year much greatness or anything out of Chase Brown. Anything's out of the realm of possibility. Chase Brown could, be replaced or have much more of a committee or something like that by next year, for all we know.
Yeah.
And David Montgomery is David Montgomery, and he's, getting
older. He's steady Eddie, yeah. Honestly.
But yeah, and he'll get you some points, but it doesn't compare to the other side to me.
Yep, I agree. David Montgomery's, the epitome of a RB2 to me. Yeah. He had 4 points this week, and he had 40 last week. He's gonna settle kind of right in the middle every week. So, I agree. And for me, also, we talk about this a lot. Giving a quarterback and not getting a quarterback, you kind of have to get something back that's worth something. So. I don't love the return either. So, but that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Mark, for coming back on. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah. So you can find me on Blue Sky and on Twitter at Primetime Mock. I run Fantasy Football, which is a really cool reality show. Basically it's a guillotine league where we force you to sort of go through a twist every week, and then we tally the scores, the main twist being that we tally the scores on Sunday Night Football so we can have a Monday Night Football straight up elimination. And we add votes, we have immunities that go through, we have video confessionals that you can watch from the players on a weekly basis. We have recap videos that we're doing on the server as well. So if you are interested in checking out the season, we have a really great cast, people from the fantasy community, people from online reality gaming community. And it's really just been a really exciting season. This is our fourth season now. And I've been really proud of it. The players are doing a great job. And if you're into that kind of reality game kind of thing, it's worth checking out. Or at the very least, maybe you might be somebody who's interested in playing next year. Just see what it's about. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And Mark does a lot of work for it. So everyone should check it out.
Way too much work for it, but it's a great time.
Yes. Our stuff, Rocky's at DennisDFF Addict on all socials. I'm Frank in the chat on all socials. We have our patreon.com/TradeXPod, which you can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, The Cool Kids Club. And, of course, we have Fantasy Cares, which is recap shows for SFB on Tuesdays, Trivia Tuesday nights with Joey Wright, and the Wednesday night hangout, which involves the most insane guillotine league I've ever seen. This week we had teams where the losing team will be put on the wheel to be cut. So we'll everyone check it out, see who gets eliminated tomorrow. And that's all I got. So as Rush Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.